Right, well, now it's with the holiday season fast approaching, I'm very pleased to be joined in the studio by a man who can give us some tips about how to take some first-class holiday photographs. And that man is Henny Wellman from Brentwood-based Wellman Photography. So welcome to Phoenix FM.
Hello, Scott.
Now, before we get into all of that, I've got to find out a little bit about yourself and how you honed your talent for photography. And with a name like Henny, you clearly don't hail from around here, do you?
No, I'm from South Africa, proudly so.
Ah, and how did you start off in South Africa?
My photography career started in the South African Air Force. I always wanted to be a pilot, but yeah. I ended up in the helicopter squadron, yes. Pointing a camera at other aircraft and also onto the ground, photographing all sorts of military intel.
But they didn't push you out anyway.
No. It was all part of the fun, hanging out.
Well, yes, I'm not sure I'd be too keen hanging out in a helicopter. And what did you do after that?
Well, they loved the photography that I was doing for them.
Ah, that's why they didn't push you out.
No, that's why. So I actually decided to go and study photography. And I've made it my full-time career for the last 12 years.
Right, and where did you do all your study then?
There's a fantastic University of Technology in South Africa. Uh-huh. And you can imagine, loads of people do a six-week course here or a three-week course or even a weekend course. 3 years of photography, I thought, what will we be doing? Oh my, was I wrong. It was very, very intensive. It taught me a lot, but I've learned even more since, thankfully.
Well, I guess if you thought that you were just going to do it for a very short time, that would have been a rather negative opinion. Sorry.
Yes.
I wish I hadn't said that now. So what did you then do? And how long did you stay in South Africa? And when did you come over to the UK?
Well, in 1999, I started coming to the UK regularly. Mm-hmm. Loved working here. And then in 2006, 2007, 2008... I seem to be in the UK all the time,
right.
Photographing stuff. And then they also sent me to Denmark, Holland, America, Spain, all over the world. But to fly from South Africa and pay for the flights was becoming a bit of a pain. So I thought, I'll bring the family over. And we settled in 2012.
Despite the weather. And what sort of things were you photographing at that time?
Well, I was photographing the South African rugby team regularly, uh-huh. The South African football team, the South African cricket team, even old legends like Hansie Cronje, Alan Donald, uh-huh. Porsche, yes. Ford Motor Company, Audi.
But what about in Europe when you came over here?
Oh, over here, it was a lot of work for companies that do industrial work, whether they manufacture something, whether they build something. They design incredible bits of kit that we use, shoes,
yes.
Loads of lady shoes, loads of clothing, fashion equipment, and then other things like the iPod.
And you've also been taking photographs, I think, of some quite famous people as well, right?
I have. There's quite a long list. I don't want to bore the listeners with that. Some of the ones that come to mind more recently, is Alan Shearer.
Yes.
Wayne Rooney. Uh-huh. Alistair Cook, the England cricket team.
Yes.
Graham Gooch.
Uh-huh.
Lord Harris, the owner of Carpet Rights. And then for the local listeners, Amy Childs, Katie Price, Jody Marsh, people like that. Miss South Africa, Miss Universe.
Can't be bad.
But I have to say, they all pale into insignificance. Photographing Nelson Mandela was definitely top.
I can imagine that. So, I mean, obviously coming into Phoenix has brought you down to earth with a bump.
No, I'm happy to be here.
But you've also worked with people like Sky and BBC and ITV Sports as well, have you not?
I have. Working on TV is very intimidating at first, but it's just the same as any other job. You just have loads of cameras pointed at you.
Yes, absolutely. And how long have you been operating your current business here?
In the UK, it's now 2.5 years.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And now, Wellman Photography, I think I'm basically right in saying it's a business-to-business company which aims to create images to promote your clients' profiles. But what advice could you give us mere mortals, armed with our digital cameras built into phones, mine that doesn't work?
Well, as we know, we're all photographers now. We all have fantastic phone cameras.
Yeah.
The main thing that I would say to the listeners is move the camera around, because we often see a picture with our eyes and imagine this is what the camera, or the phone in this case, might see.
Yeah.
It's not. Look through the camera, look at the back of the screen, compose, move it around, go down, lower, climb on something, get a different angle, a different perspective. It makes all the difference.
But obviously some pictures you're going to have to take fairly quickly because you don't get a chance. You can't do that. It's all gone. So what do you do with that? Just take it and hope for the best.
Well, with the lower-end cameras, that's already a problem because you have something called shutter lag. So you might see it. You press the button. The camera has to make 56,000 quick calculations on your behalf before it fires, and you've missed the shot. So with a phone, it's not easy.
Now, okay, to tell you the truth, I think most of us are bamboozled by the number of pixels that the camera has and our super-duper mobile phone might have. And we're never going to take any, as you said, kind of professional picture of that, no matter how skilled we are, because it doesn't have the refinements that are necessary. So what would you actually need to look for?
I would recommend quality optics, and bigger glass is key. If you have a really small little lens, it's not going to capture anything worth printing. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Leica, Canon, Nikon all produce fantastic stills cameras for around 300, £400.
Even ones that can slip in your pocket.
Ones that you can slip in your pocket.
Yeah. So you're saying something like that, and you're saying something about £300.
Yes. Now, don't spend £99 on some high street brand. You're not going to get your money's worth.
Right, okay. So what are the key numbers in the spec that you need to be looking for?
People at the moment are obsessed with large numbers. Oh, I have a 45 megapixel camera phone. That's brilliant. You really only need 8 million pixels.
Right.
You can go up and spend a bit more money on 14 or 16 megapixels. That's more than enough for what the average person will ever need and require. You can go up with some of these high-end cameras to 90 megapixels, but that's for printing a billboard or something the size of Selfridges.
Right.
The famous photograph of David Beckham in his undies,
yes,
that was taken on one of those big cameras, because when you print, you lose a lot of quality.
So
you need huge numbers. But for the rest of us, when you're just on holiday and you want something really nice, as I said, anywhere between 8 and 16, depending on your budget, you're absolutely fine.
Now, next thing, if I've followed your advice and I've gone out and bought this super duper camera for about £400, but I have to say, I can get hold of the instruction booklet, about 200 pages of it. By page 3, I've usually lost the will to live. So are there any broad brush shortcuts which, while I realize they're not going to match your professional standards, but would work for Mr. Average?
The first bit of advice I would say, switch off the auto settings.
Right.
It comes out the box with that switched on. Switch it off. Make mistakes. Learn from those mistakes. And also, what's really nice about shooting with digital cameras, you can take loads and loads of photographs. If you don't like it, delete it.
Yes.
We didn't have that luxury with film.
Absolutely.
Switch off those settings and then try different settings on the camera. It's the best way to learn if you're going to try and photograph a fireworks display, for instance.
Yes.
On most of the new cameras, there is a specific setting to help you with that.
Yes.
And the other thing is, switch off that flash.
Right.
You're creating all sorts of problems by having that little flash on the camera switched on.
So you wouldn't even have it on auto?
I would not have that on auto, no.
Right. Now, okay, I've got I've now got these pictures, and I might well have invested in a printer for my computer, and it's supposedly able to produce super-duper photographic prints. But how do you set it up to do that? I mean, one of the things that always baffles me is that I'm not sure whether, when you push the print button, whether the little bit of paper that you go through is all going to print off the bit of paper or just a bit of it. How do you set all of that up?
Thankfully, with the new software, if you just literally insert the disk and then the paper in the correct way, upside down, if it's glossy.
Yes, quite, yeah.
There's actually a little screen, and it shows you exactly where the photograph's going to be.
Right.
Normally, it'll automatically center it for you, but you can actually just tick the box and move that photograph maybe to the top left-hand corner, and then you just click the bottom right-hand corner, and expand the photograph to any size you want. It's that simple.
Right, and you get good results with it.
If the printer, again, is a good brand, Canon, some of the HP printers are very good.
Yes.
You will. If it's just an OfficeSmart printer,
no,
you won't.
But is it really cost-effective? Because it's going to use a lot of ink, or is it better to take it somewhere else and get it done?
I think it was a bit of a fad. It lasted for the last 4 or 5 years. Mm. But people are starting to go back to the lab. And one of the big reasons is you will notice anything you printed 3-4 years ago with your home office printer
yes.
is starting to fade,
yes.
especially if it's in a frame anywhere where there's sunlight in the house.
Yeah.
So definitely start going back to the lab. Mm. Make it their problem.
Well, that seems reasonable. Because the one advantage is that whatever you do, you can still actually look at all these things on your goggle box or whatever, on
these yes.
various different displays.
We've never been photographed. As much as we are currently.
Mm.
Even if we just walk down the street, there's always film footage of us doing entering a shop, exiting a shop. And on our phones, we'll all have 800, 1,000 images. And you only look at them every now and again on the phone.
Mm.
There's fantastic little gadgets now, little digital frames.
Yes.
You just buy one or two of those, put them up in the house, and it can display and rotate on an hourly basis, even just a couple of minutes.
Unbelievable.
And it can just go on for days. You can also have it as screensavers on your computer.
Yeah.
Share these images. Don't just leave them on the camera.
Good advice. Well, look, thanks for all of that, Henny, and very much appreciate you coming in to talk to us today and for all your valuable advice. But before you go, I think you'd like to say a few words about your sponsorship of the Beds of Hope Foundation in Africa, wouldn't you?
I certainly would. It's a foundation. It's very close to our heart. It's something we've been doing for free for a number of years now. Not everyone is healthy, and some little people come into this world not very well at all.
Mm.
The Beds of Hope Foundation, they have a fantastic facility where children that are most likely not going to survive
mm-hmm.
can spend their last days or weeks in the hospital. There's en-suite facilities. Mom and Dad can be in the hospital with them. If they require us, we do go in, and mm-hmm. we actually take some beautiful family photographs for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously a very sensitive thing to do.
Absolutely.
We have years of experience of doing this, and we help with the family's last wishes.
How many of these places are there?
There is only one.
There's only one.
And literally children from all over, that's their last hope.
Yes.
They have video facilities,
mm-hmm.
and literally they can have a doctor operating on that child,
mm-hmm.
and the doctor's actually in Germany
mm-hmm.
or in Switzerland or
yes.
in America. And they will have up to 16 specialists online at the same time, putting their heads together and trying to save this child's life. It's absolutely amazing what they do there.
And they've had some successes.
They've had quite a bit of success, yes.
That's good. That's great.
Yes.
So whereabouts is this? It's obviously in South Africa.
Yes, it's actually based on the campus of the University of the Free State.
Right.
It's a hospital. The parents do not pay for it.
Uh-huh.
They're entirely self-sufficient, and people like us sponsor them.
Yes. And where's that, in Johannesburg or Cape Town?
It's in the center of South Africa,
a place
called Bloemfontein,
oh, yes.
Which makes it easy for people to travel to.
Mm. Right. Well, many thanks for that, and good luck with all of that.